Fred Stoker is my guest on this episode of the Porn to Purity podcast. If you've heard of the book Every Man's Battle, well, that's Fred. Every Man's Battle is a pivotal book in my sexual purity journey. It's the book that helped me jumpstart my recovery and helped me learn to talk with other guys about my sexual struggles. Every Man's Battle is where I discovered Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, which is a central verse to my recovery. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. So I wanted to hear Fred's story. I wanted him to talk about the book Every Man's Battle and his story behind that. And then I wanted to hear about life after Every Man's Battle. Fred and his wife Brenda also speak and write about marriage recovery and marriage enrichment. And he calls this his true passion now, and I wanted to hear his thoughts on it. Anytime I get to interview or hang out with a guy who's been in recovery and had victory in sexual purity for 20 years, that's some good stuff. And that's where I listen and try to ask good questions and just let the guy or the gal talk. Fred's website is www.fredstoker.com. You can find out more about Fred, his resources, he and Brenda's marriage resources. And the links to his site are also on our site, www.porntopurity.com. Fred, can you share your story with our listeners, how your struggles began, how you fell into addiction, and how your path to purity began?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's really not unlike most guys. I mean, when you hear the story, I ran across my first porn when I was chasing a ball that rolled under my dad's bed when I was in sixth grade, or actually first grade when I was six. And what happened was I saw a Playboy magazine, I pulled it out, and, you know, from that moment, things changed to some degree. I mean, it wasn't like I started looking at porn every day or anything like that, but I did find myself looking for it in different places in his room from time to time. And then over time, as I got into junior high and high school, my dad had divorced my mom. He had kind of a bachelor pad, and he used to have all this stuff laying around. He even had a velvet nude painting above his couch in his living room, kind of a, you know, hip kind of a thing in his mind. And, you know, I used to visit and basically play cards, watch TV, just sitting under that thing every week. And it's just one of those things that over time, that female body, the nudity and all that it does in the pleasure centers of the brain, it just got more and more into my system. And one of the things we find with porn is that when you look at the research is that it has a chemical impact in the brain very much like cocaine and heroin. So what happens is there's an addictive side to it, and what we find is that when we run into emotional problems, when we run into difficulties, a lot of times guys can run to porn, and that little chemical high helps them to medicate the pain in their lives. And since I was from a broken home and kind of growing up on my own, there's a lot of medication that was going on. What happened was then when I went to college, I left home, went about 2,000 miles away, got very homesick and lonely, and that's when it really got out of control. And I not only was looking at porn extensively, you know, I had the dates memorized and my favorite magazines would come into the campus drugstore. And, you know, I had like five, six favorites. So, I mean, I'd be getting five, six new magazines every month and just really getting into that. And then I started chasing women. And by the time I was 1 year out of college at the age of 23, I had four girlfriends. I was sleeping regularly with three of them, and I was actually essentially engaged to be married to two of them, and none of them knew about the others. So, you know, I was very heavy into porn, very heavily into using women in ways that are just flat out wrong. But I didn't really know it was wrong. It just seemed like I was, you know, living the American dream. It's a lot of people I knew were certainly into women and certainly into sex. So, but it was about that time that the Lord used that sin to introduce himself to me. And I was in my office at the time, one night, and everyone else had left the office because it was late, and I was just trying to work late, get some things done. And as I was looking out the window out west, I noticed just this beautiful California sunset. So I just sat down to watch it before heading out, cleaned up my desk, and I was watching it. Suddenly, God broke in. It's hard to define what he actually did, but all I can say is he changed the scene, and I was suddenly seeing all of what I'd become, especially my relationship with women and porn and all that. And I just felt horrible. I felt a lot of shame, suddenly a lot of conviction. I realized for the first time that I wasn't who I thought I was. And all I could do at the time was just lower my head and just say, Lord, I'm ready to work with you if you're ready to work with me. I didn't really know how else to pray. I just said that simple prayer, and actually I was saved that day. And my entire life really began to change in many, many areas, but the one area that didn't fall away naturally was the porn issue. And I had made the decision not to date anymore for a while. You know, I was a new Christian, and I wanted to just kind of stop some of the stuff with the women, but the porn held on. But still, I began to learn a lot about women, and the Lord introduced me to my wife through a blind date at church. And it became clear that I was going to marry her, and I decided that I really couldn't be buying porn once we got married with her money, obviously. So, because we'd both be making income, and both of our incomes would be ours together. And so I actually quit the porn even before we got married. But the funny thing is, a lot of times we think that the porn is the real issue. But what I found is that once I cut the porn out of my life, I just was still watching R-rated movies. I was still, you know, if a mother was bending over to put her kid into the car seat at the grocery store parking lot, I'd still be staring at her rear end. Or if I'm at the beach, I'm looking at the girls in the string bikinis, whatever it might be. And what I found is that even though the porn was gone, I mean, I was completely hooked on the female body, and it was still my medication. It was still breaking my relationship with my wife. So there came a point where the Lord really got my attention. It was a few years into marriage. There were a couple of things that really hit me. By this time, I had a son, and he was a toddler. And, you know, many times I would look into his eyes, and I could just see his eyes saying to me, Daddy, you're my hero. I want to grow up to be just like you. And there were many times where I would just break into tears as he would look into my face, because I just knew that he couldn't become like me. It would kill me if he became like me, because I knew what my grandfathers were like. They were both hooked on porn. They both left their wives for other women. My dad did the same thing. You just heard my story. And I knew I was going to pass on the same kind of junk to my son one way or another. And I was just desperate to be free, but I knew I couldn't even free myself, so there's no way I could protect him, and it was really killing me. And then in my devotions, the Lord was bringing a few verses into my life. One was Luke 6:46, which is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? That was very powerful. He used that day after day and really made me wrestle with the question of, why am I not who I say I am? And then finally, it was Job 31:1, where it was Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And when you look through the entire book of Job, it's very clear that he had actually accomplished that. And I knew that Job was just a man. It wasn't like he was Jesus Christ. He's just another man. And yet he was able to do it. And that really brought hope into my life. So there came just a crisis moment where I just finally just, actually it was one day driving down the road, I was looking at a girl jogging by, and I was lusting, and I just slammed my fist in the steering wheel. I said, no, it stops here. And I finally just engaged the battle completely for the first time. Now, I didn't win the battle that day. I mean, then I started into a process of learning how to train my eyes to look away from women and to train my mind not to lust. But that was the start, and soon I was free, and over a couple of years. And so I guess what I would say is that when you look at my thumbnail sketch, it's really not all that different from other guys. And one of the things I would like to point out to anyone listening is that this is a decision that we have to make. There has to come a point where we have to understand that this kind of behavior, whether it's porn or movies or whatever else it might be, we don't have a right to use the female body for our own purposes. We need to be after God's purposes in our lives, and there has to come a point where we make a decision that it's over. Once we make the decision that it's over, then the Holy Spirit can move into our lives and begin to teach us the things we need to know, bring the resources into our lives we need, and get us to the point that we're free.
So, Fred, your journey to sexual purity, was it mostly a solo effort? I'm sure some other people were involved, but was it mostly you and God working on it? Or did you have a support team, counselors, ministers helping you with the majority of the journey?
Actually, not everyone knows this, but even in the secular realm, the very first book that was written on sexual addictions wasn't written until 1992. Okay, so, and I fought this battle back in the 1980s, so there were no books. There were no books on the topic. I frankly, given my background of four girlfriends and engaged to two of them and all that, I just, at that point, when I came to the kind of the crisis moment, I really thought that I was basically just a pervert and I was different from other guys. I didn't realize that everyone struggles with this battle. And so not only were there no books and no helps, I didn't have any kind of courage to even bring it up to anyone, because when I did bring it up to just a few people, they just said, look, you know, you can't control your eyes. You can't control your thoughts. You just got to pray and trust in God's grace that he's going to forgive you, because you're not going to be able to keep from sinning. And so I just figured, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say, but, you know, you have no idea how deeply in sin I am. And I just wasn't willing to accept that. I just couldn't believe that when you read a verse like Ephesians 5:3, that we are not to have even a hint of sexual immorality in our lives. I couldn't believe that God would say that in the Bible unless it was possible. And there were many verses in the Bible that God would talk about sexual purity, and it was clear what he meant. And I knew that he wouldn't say stuff. He's a good father. He wouldn't ask us to do stuff that's not possible. So even though I didn't really have any help, and I didn't have any small groups, I didn't have any support groups, not anything, it was just me and the Lord, and I knew that I could still win. Now, I can tell you that through the years, teaching on this, talking to guys, meeting other ministry leaders, it's very clear that having help, being in a support group, these things actually help you more quickly defeat the issue and help you find your way to victory more quickly, because, you know, you can talk to other guys and they can tell you what's worked for them, what hasn't worked, and it just speeds the process. But I was on my own, and I want anyone to know that, you know, God is sufficient. I mean, he can teach, he can help, but you have to have intimacy with him, and you have to really mean it when you say you're going to fight. Because if you don't really mean it, he's not as able to get your attention when he needs to help you see the things you need to see along the path.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Porn to Purity Podcast and my interview with Fred Stoker, author of Every Man's Battle. My name is Jeff Fisher. You can find out more about Fred, the Every Man's Battle series, and he and his wife Brenda's ministry at fredstoker.com. And when you get a chance, check out our homepage, www.porntopurity.com. for a lot of resources, blogs, and podcasts for those who struggle with sexual sin and those who are trying to help those who struggle with sexual sin. My email address, if you need someone to reach out to, is jeff@porntopurity.com. Or if you're a spouse of a sexual struggler, my wife's address is marcia at porntopurity.com.